generic probiotics, which, I mean, obviously there's so many probiotic choices out there nowadays. Yes. You don't know if you're getting a good quality one or not. Probably don't have that much benefit when it comes to recolonization of your gut biome. Mm-hmm. You really have to kind of do your research on quality probiotic, and also it's person dependent. So yeah. You need to know a little bit more about your gut biome, and I hate to keep taking it back to poo, but it might require a fecal test, because that tells you a little bit more about your gut biome. So
I take it back. I'd be interested in knowing more about my gut biome. It's the transplanting of the poo.
Yeah.
That I get I get a little squeamish around. That's funny. So I actually would be open to that, because you can actually learn a lot from your poo.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. Appreciate you guys listening each week, and thank you for those reviews you leave us in iTunes and the Apple Podcast app. We really appreciate that, and if you haven't done so already, just take a few seconds and leave us some your thoughts about the podcast, and give us that 5-star review, of course, or rating, I should say. Also, want to let you guys know about the addictedtofitnesspodcast.com website. Lots of fun and interesting tidbits on that website if you guys want to investigate the topics we discuss each week, in addition to the show notes where you can find that additional info. We also have a shop page that includes the links to our great affiliates, Stick Mobility, the Hemp Coffee Exchange, and then our Amazon ATF approved products list.
Yes, and those are the tried and true. So we've already gone through and found some of our favorite brands,
mm-hmm.
and the best quality for those respective products. We've done the testing for you.
Yeah, we actually have a couple. I'm sure several of the products that are on the list have been talked about or taste tested or tried out on the podcast. So make sure you check that out and then go back and listen to the past episode associated with that product. All right, so this week, I have a little bit of a listener's talk back section where we usually read the review of the newest review that you guys left us in iTunes or on the Facebook page. But I actually have it right from an individual. We have a personal review. I actually, one of my clients, I sent her last week's episode, which featured the coaching session with, yes, Dr. Glenn Livingston, because she was talking about, you know, wanting to get a little bit more dialed in with her diet. And I told her, hey, this coaching session might give you a little bit more, some better guidance about the mental aspects or the mental requirements to, you know, maintaining a healthy eating lifestyle. So she said she listened, she enjoyed it. I'm not going to mention names, but she said she has a lot of anxiety associated with food choices, which, you know, a lot of people talk about emotional eating.
Yep.
So that's a very common thing. So she said she's actually used a hypnotist before to kind of help deal with that anxiety. So she said when she was listening to the episode, it reminded her a lot of that. Kind of the same rhetoric that they got, she got when she was speaking with a hypnotist. So you guys check out that past episode, coaching session with Dr. Glenn Livingston. Really, I was really proud of that episode. I know you listened to it too.
I did. Yeah.
What'd you think?
I started saying, oh, it makes sense why all of a sudden, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, you stopped eating chocolate after dinner. Which is weird, because Nick always was the one that was like, yes, give me my 2 pieces of dark chocolate. And he gets like the super, super dark, the Midnight Revere or whatever it's called. And it's been MIA from his routine, and I was questioning it, and now I know why.
See, yeah.
It just goes to show he keeps secrets from even his wife.
Yeah, well, I was waiting for you to check that episode out. So
the test I passed.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, now we're going to roll into the training recaps. For me, not too much new to report, but except for that, I'm getting busier, adding clients, it seems, by the week, which is great. That is awesome. It seems to I mean, I don't know if we're going into that time of year, like heading into the holidays, people are trying to prepare before they have to start traveling. They're trying to get into a healthy living routine before they know the holidays are coming up and they'll be in and out of town, be dealing with family. So the time dedicated to a workout plan is probably going to be, you know, maybe dropping off a little bit towards the end of the year, but usually January is when everybody obviously makes their New Year's resolutions and starts getting back into the gym. Yeah. Everybody talks about, I haven't been into a big box gym in a long time, but they say the first 3 weeks of January, you can't find a spot in there.
Oh, yeah. I remember when I used to go to the big LA Fitness. It would be chaotic for a good, I'd say, like, the first month. And then the class that you could barely find a spot in, all of a sudden, there's spots.
Yeah.
There's plenty of spots. Whole back row's empty. You're like, woohoo, the rest of them totally, like, failed their New Year's resolutions, and you're, like, happy for it.
I know we mentioned on the podcast before, it's something crazy with the percentage of how many people stick to their New Year's resolution. It's very low. So yeah. We also have talked about some better ideas than setting New Year resolutions. So go back and check out the episodes we did in January of this year so you guys can find out about that. One thing, speaking of LA Fitness, that I've been tossing around and I've been thinking about is possibly getting a membership to LA Fitness just for the recovery area or recovery
elements
that they have there. Features, that's the word I'm looking for. Recovery features they have there, including sauna and whirlpool. Yeah, hot tub. Exactly. Yeah. So I keep getting emails from them, of course. You know, they're great at, you know, hounding you when you used to be a member.
Oh, yeah. We want you back. We want you back. Like, 30 every bucks a other month, day.
You know, with zero enrollment. And I was like, ugh, it's very tempting. So, because those two features, as you said, the sauna and the whirlpool, I know I can definitely benefit from, especially sauna, with all the information coming out about how it can reduce all cause mortality. So I would love to get in on that. Even though
it would be hilarious though, you like walk into the gym and you just got like regular clothes on, you just got like a little towel over your shoulder, and you're like the old man that goes to the gym just for the sauna.
Hey, I'm okay with that. And I'll actually be an old man and do that too. So that's the goal. Get to that old man status. So, yeah, I'm possibly tossing around that idea. We'll see what happens. But speaking of recovery, I wanted to ask you for your training recap, because you just did something that I would say in the recovery realm, you just had
It's something you do.
Yes.
More often.
Oh, I do. Yeah
regularly.
Mm-hmm.
I got a massage and from
Monique,
a massage therapist, yes, that you basically coordinated everything with, and it was kind of a surprise. And I'm not gonna lie, I was a little bit hesitant because I've not had great luck with massage therapists since coming to Florida. And I will say I'm nervous because I had phenomenal massage therapists when I used to live in Massachusetts, because my mom, who was an acupuncturist, had phenomenal, like, had an incredible network, and she, like, hand-selected the best of the best.
Right.
And had me go to them. And they were amazing. And I got spoiled.
Right.
I absolutely got spoiled. And then I got, you know, some semi-serious, like, chronic pain issues, and didn't really know, I guess, how to communicate that to most therapists. So every time I went for a massage, I would end up in traction for like a week, because they would feel the tightened shoulder muscles, and they would just like attack it.
Yeah.
And so you promise, you're like, tell her, she'll figure it out with you. She'll be like just what you need. And she was. So Monique, she practices at, or practices, she does.
She has her own practice, yes.
Massages, has her own practice at Essential Balance Holistic Wellness Center in Tampa, which we actually have an interview with the head of that, what would you call it?
Wellness center.
No, I know, but what's a wellness center? Like, is it not an organization? Facility.
Yeah.
Facility. So I remember listening to that interview.
Mm-hmm.
Hayden is his name.
Hayden Sutherland. Sutherland, sorry.
I say it really fast.
Hayden Sutherland, yes.
So yeah, I hadn't been there either. Mm-hmm. So it was actually a number of new experiences for me. But I loved a few things. First off, she like some massage therapists, the good ones at least, like they have you fill out like information, tell you about injuries, things like that. Let me just say, if you ever go to a spa or you go somewhere where they don't have you fill out one of these forms or have some kind of an intake process where they like ask you and kind of keep track of your physical conditions, don't go to them. I'm just putting that out there. Like, these people should know as much about your body as you do, because they are going to feel their way around your body and you need them to help you. She did that like right off the bat. She talked to me, asked me, you know, about previous conditions, and I told her about my nerve damage, and she asked, you know, kind of what would work and what wouldn't work. And then she told me that she just give her feedback during the massage.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not as in like you would think, like giving someone feedback as they're massaging you would be like disturbing the peace, but it was very, very natural and it was very easy. And she would ask before she did something like, can I stretch you here? Can mm-hmm. I move this here? Is this pressure good? And it was just so reassuring, because it wasn't like you go in, it's complete silence, or you have your, you know, your light music, your wooden flute playing mm-hmm. in the background.
Pan flute.
It was just this nice, like, you really felt like you were in the hands of a professional. And she really was kind of getting, you know, to know my body and what my body needed.
Mm-hmm.
And she also had a technique that I've had a couple massage therapists use, where it's, I forgot what she called it. It's basically where they really focus on going the length of the muscle
mm-hmm.
versus like just moving and manipulating the muscle. And it feels amazing. Like she mentioned she does that because a lot of times like the tension is at the connection points.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps. And I walked out of there feeling like a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I loved that she played light jazz in my session, because I actually love jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very relaxing to me, but it wasn't like, let me fall asleep.
Yeah. Yep.
So it was a really great experience. I definitely hope to go back to her. Mm-hmm. She's definitely got some serious skill.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't suggest you go to her if I didn't believe in it. If I didn't believe, you know, that she had that skills to help you, because I know you've talked about how, and you just mentioned it to everybody, that it's had some bad experience in the recent past. So, Restore Me Massage Therapy, that's Monique's company. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area, make sure you check her out. We'll put her information in the show notes. So, that's our training recap for this week. We want to jump into an important topic that we've talked about, I think, a lot on this podcast, and it's overall topic we're about to talk about is gut health, essentially.
Mm.
And we've talked about that a lot on the podcast, but what we're going to get into first is an article from Well and Good about, are probiotics beneficial or not?
Yeah.
Which
caught my eye.
Exactly, which is a little bit scary to see, because, you know, we're big proponents of probiotic use.
Yep.
I mean, we give it to Ella. I mean, we've talked about it, you know, how it's supplementing it when she's, you know, was breastfeeding.
Yep.
So it's something big to us, and every time we had to put her on antibiotics, well, not every time, it's only been twice we had to put on her antibiotics, but just, you know, fearing about, you know, we've heard about the bad things about getting antibiotics and what it does to your gut microbiome. So anyways, this article from Well and Good actually talks about a recent study that was done that saw, that basically documented the effect of the recolonization of gut bacteria after a round of antibiotics. And they looked at whether or not probiotics helped or hindered the recolonization of that gut bacteria. And according to the study they looked at, it really actually did not help as much as just letting it recolonize the gut biome, the gut bacteria recolonize on its own. It actually hindered it. It actually slowed it down. The bacteria didn't colonize as quickly as it would without the addition of probiotics.
Well, didn't it say that it did in like the stomach, but it didn't like farther down?
No. They talked about the gut biome in both rats and humans. And they said that both of them, they saw that the gut biome did not recolonize as fast when the probiotics were used after antibiotics. Hmm. They saw that just basically recolonization, without the help of probiotics, basically had better results, according to the study, than with probiotics. They also factored in another thing. That something I don't think we really investigated on this podcast. Yeah.
We don't really have a strong desire to go here.
It's something that's worth mentioning because I've been hearing it a lot on talking about gut health on podcasts when they explain gut health, and that is, I'm going to look for, what is it? It's FML. I think that is the fecal transplant, which is basically a procedure where the subject's healthy poo is transplanted back into their system after taking antibiotics. So basically, it's you're trying to reintroduce that good bacteria that you had before your antibiotics back into your system through, as we already described. So yes, those things do exist. That process has been used. FMT is what they're referred to, which is fecal microbiome transplantation. Is that what it said? Transplantation? Sorry. I don't know if I pronounced that word right. But yes, that actually works better than probiotics or just the natural process of recolonization of gut biome. But not a lot of people have the desire to do that or the resources to do that.
I don't even really have a desire to understand how they transplant it. Like, you have to go in definitely before you have the probiotic or the antibiotics.
Correct.
And you have to have them remove it.
Correct.
But then I don't even want to think about it. I don't want to think about how they get it back in.
All right. So yeah, that's not really, I don't want to get off on that tangent because that's a whole nother discussion. We're not even going to worry about that. But what we're really focused on in this article is, are probiotics beneficial or not? I think it goes, when you read through this article, they talk to a couple professionals, including Dr. Josh Axe, who we referred to a couple times on the podcast before we've looked at his articles. I think he goes over it and basically says generic probiotics, which, I mean, obviously there's so many probiotic choices out there nowadays. Yes. You don't know if you're getting a good quality one or not. Probably don't have that much benefit when it comes to recolonization of your gut biome. Mm-hmm. You really have to kind of do your research on quality probiotic, and also it's person dependent. So yeah, you need to know a little bit more about your gut biome, and I hate to keep taking it back to poo, but it might require a fecal test because that tells you a little bit more about your gut biome. So yeah. That's something, like I said, we haven't talked about on the podcast yet. Maybe down the road. Maybe that'll be a solo one. Shannon will have to participate in that one.
Maybe I'll skip that one.
So yeah, to get a little bit better, dial in your probiotic needs, you need to get a little bit more information about what type of biome you have. But actually, I don't know if it's 23andMe or there's another company similar to that, I think, that might just need saliva to test to give you a little bit more information about the diet and things like that. Because I know 23andMe is one thing that can really...
They do the genetic testing.
They do genetic testing, but they can also dictate, according to your DNA, what diet would be beneficial to you. So, but this one is, I know there's another company, I've heard it talked about on a recent podcast, that actually looks at gut biome, your gut biome. So
I take it back. I'd be interested in knowing more about my gut biome. It's the transplanting of the poo.
Yeah.
That I get, I get a little squeamish around.
That's funny.
So I actually would be open to that because you can actually learn a lot from your poo.
Yes. Very true. So,
but we won't talk about that.
Right. So, yeah. But this is a good article because, like I said, it makes people realize that not one size fits all. And we always say that a lot about diet, about exercise, about everything, is that it's true. Not all one probiotics is good. I take one type of probiotics. You got to keep in the refrigerator. They send it in an ice pack and stuff like that. It's something.
There's a lot of, like, debate I've seen out there, too, about, like, are there really, like, reasons that you do that, and why are some like that? Are those the ones that are more beneficial versus the ones that you don't?
Yeah, exactly.
And
right.
It's just like, I mean, it's a tough call.
Right. No,
I
and
don't,
then just
I
having,
don't know.
Yeah, having the information, I think that's good. Trying to get more information about what your needs are. That's, I think, the real moral of the story of this article.
Yeah.
Is that find out more. A little bit more information about your body so you can basically not just throw money away by buying generic probiotics. So I think it's a great article, and if nothing, it got us talking about poo. So that's always
because we don't talk about poo enough.
Yes,
I think I talk way too much about poo.
That's
actually
true. Anyways, not on this podcast, so.
Not on the podcast.
Anyways. So speaking of one thing that can help with probiotics and gut health is fermented foods. We've talked about that on the podcast before. We've gone on a whole countdown about some fermented foods. But you actually found an article about a couple other fermented foods that I wasn't actually familiar with. But one, the very first one we're going to talk about, I am familiar with because a lot of people ask me about that.
Right.
And then there's some other ones in that article, and I want you to introduce it because it's an awful website that I think that you have a little bit more knowledge about than I would.
Yeah. I did some research on Ayurveda resources online. There really aren't that many reputable ones, but the Ayurveda Experience is a good website. They have well-researched contributed articles, and they come from a variety of contributors that are, you know, all levels of Ayurvedic counselors and doctors and things like that. So
can you get a quick recap of what Ayurveda is? Just real quick.
Yes. It's basically like, I think it like they refer to it like the science of life, but it's basically, there's ancient and traditional medicine and then there's modern medicine, right? So you think like pre what we have in the United States
Western culture.
There was a couple of like ancient medicine and schools of thoughts, right?
Gotcha.
So Ayurveda goes back pre-written history. It goes back over like 5,000 years. Way, 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 way back there. And yoga is actually a part of Ayurveda. Mm-hmm. So it's the science for living. It's all of the components that come together to form your life and to keep you healthy. It's all about how everybody is different and how each person, based off of their unique setup, and I could go into a lot more detail, but I'm trying to keep it high level here.
Yeah.
Based off of their unique traits and their unique makeup, they have recommendations for your lifestyle, for your diet, for like where, like types of climates that you'd be better off living in. Mm-hmm. Like, it is ridiculously detailed. Mm. I mean, incredibly, incredibly detailed. There's a lot of overlap between Ayurveda and like ancient Chinese medicine, which is what I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it is super familiar to me. And it, I think that's one of the reasons I was so interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they really do prescribe food as medicine. So it's, they look at food as not just, it's not just a fuel. It's not just like a sensory experience. It truly is medicine for you. And based off of your specific makeup, certain foods are good and they're different from the foods that, you know, Joe next to you might have be good for him.
Gotcha.
Like based off of your unique makeup.
Right.
So it makes a lot of sense from that standpoint. But it's also, Ayurveda is most predominantly found in like, in and around India. That's kind of the geographic region where this all kind of started.
Right. Okay.
So some of the foods that you might hear us talk about are a little bit more
localized. Indian. Yeah. I can see that.
But that's,
you can still find them in the United States.
It's still, there's still things you can find. They're not like so exotic that you're like, ooh, I don't think so. No.
All right, now the first one is something that it's got a lot of, I think, press in the last, probably dozen years or so or more, talking about its health benefits, and that's apple cider vinegar. Apple cider vinegar.
I also feel like it's kind of always been like your grandmother probably used this as like a, you know, home kind of remedy sort of thing. Like kind of like the guy in My Big Fat Greek Wedding. You know, like how he used Windex for everything. I feel like apple cider vinegar was probably like my grandmother's solution. We used to use vinegar
for like glass cleaner.
But not apple cider vinegar.
No, you're right.
Yeah, so, different vinegar.
Apple cider vinegar is kind of another, when I talked about, you know, fermented foods, is actually a fermented food. So
which we had to Google to double check and find out, but it's,
it actually is, yes.
Vinegar.
So, and obviously there's a lot of benefits that apparently that associated with apple cider vinegar consumption. But there are also some, according to the AyurvedaExperience.com, some not so good side effects of apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, and these are linked to other like scientific studies and things like that. So they're sourced. We'll have the links all in our show notes, mm-hmm. per usual. But apple cider, I mean, it has been used for almost everything inside your body, outside your body, every which way.
Class cleaner. I mean, I don't know. Maybe
not apple cider.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I don't know.
Apple cider is the one that has floaties in it.
You're right.
If you need a distinguisher.
That's usually the bacteria.
Yeah.
The mother bacteria. Anyways, so let's go. Number one, apple cider vinegar has been shown to delay the rate in which food leaves the stomach, why it's probably good for curbing appetite.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been shown to worsen symptoms of gastroparesis and make blood sugar control more difficult for people with type 1 diabetes, which is, you know, obviously a negative, somewhat of a negative side effect. What about number two?
So, I mean, you just said it. Apple cider vinegar is probably most commonly known to help reduce the appetite. I'm sure some of you have heard of that. What is it? Like cayenne pepper, apple cider vinegar, and lemon?
Something like that,
It's some ridiculous drink like that. It's supposed to be like a cleanse thing.
Sounds like heartburn.
Gross. Yeah, it just sounds like heartburn in a bottle. But it also may cause feelings of nausea, particularly when consumed as part of a drink with a bad flavor, which let's talk cayenne pepper and lemon.
Oof. So then the third reason they have, the acetic acid in vinegar may weaken dental enamel and lead to the loss of minerals and tooth decay.
That's sadly a fact about many things.
Yeah.
Like lemons.
Lemon. Well, yeah, lemon citric acid, anything with citric acid in it can have that effect, but it's got to be like with this, they talk about it, it's if you drink it straight. You can really, that's why a lot of recommendations, they say take a shot and put it in a glass of water, dilute it significantly. The same thing with lemon water, you know. That you talk about, I remember with somebody, we were talking about LaCroix months ago, and somebody emailed me and messaged me and said that LaCroix could affect tooth enamel. So, you know, it's citric acid can definitely have that effect on tooth decay. Well, it can contribute to that, so... number four.
It also has the potential to cause esophageal throat burns, which sounds horrible. Researchers recommend vinegar be considered a potent caustic substance and kept in childproof containers. So I'm guessing this has like been found like with children especially?
Well, they've tried to drink it.
Like yeah.
Kids getting into the container and drinking it. So, yeah, it definitely it's
terrifying.
Can. Yeah, that does sound bad.
I mean, I can see it looks like burns. Apple cider.
I love the taste of it, and I love it. Like, we used to eat when we ate blue crab, when we steamed crabs. Well, we do a little vinegar and Old Bay.
Doesn't kombucha have it in it?
Does it have apple cider vinegar in it?
Yeah.
It has the mother. I don't think so.
I thought there's some that have apple cider vinegar in
maybe.
It.
Maybe. You could be very right.
I don't know.
Number five, some medications may interact with apple cider vinegar, including insulin, dioxin, and certain diuretics. So you got to make sure you, if you're taking any of those three or any medications with something as acidic as that, you got to make sure there's no interactions between your medications.
Yeah.
So. Apple cider vinegar has its benefits, but also can have its issues. So now we're going to jump into those fermented foods that I'm probably not as familiar with, but you might know a little bit more about because I think I saw one of these on our grocery list.
Yeah.
Was it?
I think you've seen probably a couple of them. We actually have like a couple of Indian grocery stores nearby that I'm just waiting to get over there and check out because I'd be super interested in trying this out.
So I'm going to let you talk about these ones. Number one, I'm familiar with, but the other ones I'm not too familiar with.
Yeah, it's basically yogurt. Mm-hmm. So in Ayurveda, it's actually relatively heavy in dairy, but it was created that way back in the day when cows were revered and dairy was like almost like a holy experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it was super pure. It wasn't quite what we had today. So there is actually a lot of like yogurts and things like that in Ayurveda diets. But with yogurt being a fermented food, it is. I don't know how they say it. I think it's like dahi or dai, but it's a staple and it's consumed, I think, like almost at every meal. You can like water it down, but it's served pretty regularly.
Yeah, and I know with we've talked about it before with yogurt, the fact that it's fermented, it makes it a little easier for your body to tolerate.
Yeah.
Opposed to just regular dairy like cheese or milk.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and there's been a number of different studies and things that have talked about how it benefits the body. So that's a big one. The second one is kanji. Again, I apologize for the pronunciation of some of these.
Mm-hmm.
But kanji is a deep purple colored carrot, and it's fermented along with some crushed mustard seed, hot chili powder, and salt. and it's turned into a popular drink.
Has cooling and soothing properties? None of that you just described sound cooling or soothing.
I know, right? But there's, I guess there's a different one that's made from beetroot, mm-hmm. which has the possible side effects / benefit to prevent infectious and malignant disease. Plants are magic, people. Let's just say that for one thing. Yeah. Fermented plants are really, really magic.
And the thing that fits under that, I just want to say, this drink of probiotics, 18 different strains of lactic acid bacteria were isolated in the study, in a study that they mentioned earlier, and brings in immune-enhancing values to our tables. So this one's full of probiotics. Heck 18 yeah. different kinds.
18 different strains.
18 strains, yes. That's awesome.
Yeah, so, and it's interesting, because I'm sure if you, like, just tried to bring this product over to the United States, it would be horribly processed.
Yeah, I wonder if...
The 18 different strains would probably be down to, like, two.
I wonder if any of them are...
We'll have to see if we can find it when we go over to that market, store. Yeah.
All right. Number three
is fermented chlorella,
mm-hmm.
which is not a, like, exclusively exotic, or I can actually pronounce it, which is great. And it's chlorophyll-rich green algae.
Mm-hmm.
Algae. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And algae, I think we've all heard, I mean, you see people doing shots of it, and you've seen, like, they have
spirulina,
they have green, like, there's all kinds different health benefits. It's packed with chlorophyll.
Chlorophyll, more like borophyll. Sorry, I had to do it.
What?
It's Billy Madison. Anyways, keep going.
So it is a superfood, and pretty much everyone can benefit. And fermented, it's already a plant protein and it has high amounts of fiber and healthy fats in it as well. But when you ferment it, it basically just gets even better. Mm-hmm. And it improves heart, nerve, brain health, boosts immunity, helps digestion, even relieves fibromyalgia pain.
More protein than soy. Interesting.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So the next one, number four, is one of the items that was on my shopping list.
I did see that. Now I remember. That's what I remember.
And it's a dosa. And it's a delicious fermented rice and lentil crepe. It's traditionally enjoyed as a staple in the southern part of India. And you can find it at southern Indian restaurants. But they use black lentils typically. I don't know if it's like a seasonal thing, but it helps combat the cold weather by providing warmth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like a little crepe. So, I mean, it's served alongside things, with things. I mean, like chutneys, and they have some other recipe recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also gluten-free. And they can easily be made dairy-free by replacing the ghee. Like I said, there's a lot of dairy with coconut oil. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're pretty simple item.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to go, like, vegan, you could.
Oh, interesting.
You can make it vegan.
Interesting.
But, yeah, it sounded really, really interesting, and they recommended, I mean, it just kind of seems like an interesting option for have it alongside some of, like, the items we make for curries and stews and things.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of curries, I know we got a good one going in tomorrow night.
Yep.
The last one,
and this is, again, I'm not sure exactly how to say this. I think it's called Idili? I don't know. It's a savory cook cake. I'm so sorry if anybody is Indian and I'm just massacring this. It's a cook cake. It kind of looks like an English muffin. But it is... It's a fermented food made from rice and black gram.
I don't know what black gram is.
I think it's a spice. I'm not sure.
Google it. Keep going.
So it is made of rice and black gram and gram.
Gram? I don't know.
I don't know. Which is apparently a bean.
Yes.
We looked it up, and it's in the mung bean family.
You were saying?
My watch just talked to me.
Oh, no. We should have asked. We should have asked the watch.
I think she's offended that we didn't ask her and that we went to Google. All
right.
Sorry, Siri. You keep looking at it like it's going to bite you.
Don't worry.
She's really scared.
Idly? Sorry.
Yeah,
I-D-L-I. That's how we don't know how to pronounce it.
But the fermentation process in these just increases all the levels of good things, basically. Amylase, proteinase, total acids. It's got more soluble solids, essential amino acids. It is a long list of vitamins that I'm not even going to go through. It's also regarded, I think, as a pretty common anti-obesity weight loss kind of option. And it's also useful in reducing the risk of cardiovascular diseases, high blood pressure, and stroke.
And to bring it all full circle, the carbohydrate as well as dietary fiber content in this food promotes healthy digestion and the formation of bulky stools.
Yeah.
Bringing it full circle.
Makes you poo good.
Yeah. A lot of discussion about poo on this episode.
That's because it all comes down. You can learn a lot about your health through your poo.
The more you know. How do you say?
But apparently you can find these, the last two items that sound a little horrible with my pronunciation, they definitely are options you can find at an Indian market.
Trying to figure out how to. Here we go.
PronounceNames.com.
Going on PronounceNames.com.
Idli.
Idli.
Ah, we definitely.
Idli.
Idli?
I think I did say that.
Idli.
Idli.
So the product is called...
Do we have the correct...
Shut up. Idli.
Idli.
Mm-hmm. Idli.
So once again, I did make a horrible mispronunciation.
That's all right.
I called it Idli.
Mm-hmm. Idli.
It's an Idli.
But all these fermented foods, once again, along with probiotics, can help your poo.
And I will also say I'm reading a book right now called Kintsugi Wellness. Mm-hmm. And it is all about Japanese wellness.
I thought you were going to say poo, but anyways.
No, it's not about poo. Well, no.
All right, let's keep going.
But they also list a whole bunch of fermented foods, including soy sauce.
Yep.
That are used pretty much in every single meal. There's like a fermented... item in
miso
Japanese.
Is a good one.
Yeah, miso is one of our favorites too.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So there are, I think it's like, it's becoming very clear. Fermented foods at almost every meal is just kind of a good, smart thing that cultures have been doing for a long time.
Right. I don't want to get on a tangent because we're wrapping it up, but. Fermented food is a great way to preserve food, too. Fermenting foods.
Yeah.
That's a way it makes, you know, helps you hold on to food longer. So that's why it's been used by ancient cultures for a long time. So anyways, I'm not giving you a history lesson on fermentation, guys. Not this episode. But if you guys enjoy this episode and the past episodes, let us know by giving us that rating and review in iTunes or the Apple Podcasts app. And as Shannon mentioned in the beginning, check out the AddictedToFitnessPodcast.com website. Shop page. No, I'm saying you said it.
You said it.
You said it. Anyways, you got anything else for them this week?
That's it.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness Podcast, and we'll check in next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, AddictedToFitnessPodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast. And like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes Store. Thanks. Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We appreciate you guys checking us in.
Thanks for checking us in for our flight.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.